Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Today we meet a man that went from selling cars to living his dreams with a high income skill. And we're going to teach you how he did it and how you can make money anytime, anywhere like he does. This is also the high income skill that set me free. So Tim Sells, welcome to the show.
Hey, Craig. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
This is really going to be great. I mean, what was it, 2017 or 2018 when you first came to a Perfect Life workshop with me?
I think it was late 2018. It might have even been like May of 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. So really not that long ago.
And I think it was 2018. Were you at the Perfect Life retreat with Tim Grover?
No, I came to one in Santa Monica with about five or six other guys.
Yeah, that was just the Perfect Life workshop. Now, at that time, you were a general manager of a Chevrolet dealership in Winterpeg. Was it Chevy or was it GM?
Yeah, so actually at that time, it was General Motors, Chevy GMC and Buick, but I was actually just selling cars. I wasn't managing or anything yet.
Okay.
So yeah, just selling cars on the sales floor with everybody else.
And how the heck did you even find my content? Was it through the fitness stuff or was it through Perfect Day or something else?
Yeah, you know what? It's actually so cool to be doing the podcast now with you. And it's a real honor because this is actually how I found you. It was, really? I can't remember if it was Early to Rise podcast, or it might've been the one that used to do with Bedros. I started listening to both around the same time, but found you through either one of those. And I was just listening to your stuff and yours and Bedros stuff in the mornings before work, you know, getting my workout on, getting ready for the day, going into to make sales, sell cars. And I was listening to your guys' stuff. I was listening to Ryan Stuman at that time as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So just taking it all in. And I just kind of start to get a bit of a sense of what you're all about. And I figured that coaching with you is the best way to get to the next level.
That's amazing. So today you're a six-figure copywriter living the life of your dreams. Now, before we talk about how you went from car sales to copywriting, because there's a really great story behind that, why don't you just walk us through your current day right now as a copywriter?
Yeah. So right now, basically like on a perfect day, I get up fairly early around 6 a.m. and do 16. And I did basically exactly what I learned from you is just getting straight to work on your number one task. For me, it's either studying copywriting. So just going through sales letters, winning promos, stuff like that to try and get better and absorb some stuff there. Or else it's just working on a specific project, whether it's for a specific client or a launch that's going on or a sales page or Facebook ads or something like that. So I'll do at least 60 to 90 minutes of kind of move ahead work and or like skill development, sharpening the axe kind of stuff. And then basically from there, I used to, like when I started copywriting, my whole like morning routine schedule changed. And I was really kind of getting caught up in the rest of the day's work. So basically I just get stuck all morning being at home working without really leaving the house. And you start to feel kind of like feel like you're in a bit of a funk without leaving the house for that long. So more recently, I started taking the dog for a walk right after that 60 to 90 minute block. And that's been a game changer because it's just refreshing. You get outside, you get some sunlight in your eyes early in the morning. So that's really great. And
well, not in January in Winnipeg. It's probably not till you end the walk at 8:30 that the sun comes up.
Yeah. It is pretty dark, pretty late here some days. But yeah, usually I'll be doing that when the sun is up. There's not much point going when it's still dark out.
And just before we continue on with your day, do you specialize in email copywriting or do you also do a lot of sales letters and other stuff?
Yeah. So just
because you write emails for us and so everybody listening to this, like Tim writes the emails that you get, you know, he and I collaborate on them. And I know that you do a lot of email copywriting for friends of mine. So
what tends to be your split?
Yeah, no, I would say that, like, just based on reps, you know, just the time that I've put in and the amount that I've done, email is definitely the specialty. It's, you know, where my strongest skill set is for sure. I've got the most wins in email, definitely. But yeah, I've done quite a bit of Facebook ads as well for other clients. And I am doing some financial stuff as well now too, which is probably the steepest and longest learning curve in all of copywriting. So definitely take some time to get into. And I'm kind of lucky I didn't get into that any sooner, because, you know, the markets and everything is basically a mess here in 2023. So financial copywriters who aren't at the absolute top of their game are not having a great go right now. So I'm kind of lucky not to be the new guy coming in right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's another fascinating nuance to it that we can talk about in a bit, especially, you know, the level of knowledge that you have, not only about copywriting, but about the topic in which you're writing about. Fortunately, because you've been, you know, a client of ours, that you know the systems in and out, and hopefully I'm one of your easiest clients to work for.
Yeah, no, definitely. It makes a big difference. Obviously being familiar with the products and how the coaching works and everything and your teachings, but also having personally benefited from it so much, it's really easy to write, like, you know, like a high passion, you know, sales message or something like that, because you really believe it, right? So yeah. Coming from a background in sales, you know, it's the same thing. You have to believe in your product to sell it enthusiastically and with a lot of belief.
So you get back in from the dog walk around 8:39 is another work block. Is that what happens there for you?
Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, another thing I learned from you, like, you know, even when I was in sales and even after I learned it from you and not really listening to the strategy, I would, you know, maybe jump into emails and stuff like that at 9 a.m., 10 a.m., stuff like that without getting a ton of the writing done first. But now I really do focus on getting as much writing done as possible in the first half of the day. So sometimes I'll, you know, I'm sometimes able to avoid email as late as like 11 a.m. to even noon. And just avoiding, you know, the phone, email, all that stuff as long as possible, especially with writing. It wasn't so bad when I was selling cars or doing any types of sales, but when you're trying to be focused in and, you know, write an effective sales message or even just write well, it's really tough when you start getting distracted by everything else.
Yeah. Have you ever tried writing at night? Have you ever tried the night owl approach?
Yeah, 100%. I've written it every time of the day. Some days I'm literally just writing all day just because there's so much volume, but I do actually think better later in the day. Usually my brain isn't really switched on unless I've had a workout or something like that earlier in the day. So I do try and get some exercise in earlier when possible, but I do actually write pretty well at nighttime.
Yeah, I find that, you know, the two secrets to writing a lot, and when you write a lot, you have a greater chance of winning when, you know, especially if you've got the skill set, is one, having a deadline. And so nighttime produces this real deadline of like, I really want to get to bed by 11 o'clock. Yeah. So, you know, it's 8 o'clock now. I really want to crank. And the other thing conducive to good writing and writing a lot prolifically is no distractions. And there tend to be fewer distractions, fewer emails in the evening. Now, there's a lot of other distractions, you know, from Netflix and spouses and partners and, you know, alcohol and heavy meals and, you know, a long list of things that don't exist or tend not to be as tempting in the morning. So I think, but I have written a lot of stuff at night, you know, in my single years, especially in the fitness space where we're doing a high volume of stuff. So I'm not promoting it, but I know that it can certainly work and it has its time and place. So what about the time of day where you kind of hit a sluggish patch? What does Tim do?
Yeah, that's a good question too. It's it usually is that post lunch kind of 1 to 3 p.m. somewhere in there, depending what I'd be doing in the morning. And that is usually where, you know, brain fog might set in a little bit or something like that. But if I have more, like if I'm actually able to set the writing aside and I'm ahead and I don't need to be literally writing all day, I'll move on to some admin stuff, email, you know, following up with just stuff that needs to get taken care of within, you know, an email service provider, something like that. But basically non-writing focused tasks, just taking care of business.
Well, okay. So let's look at the boring side of being a mercenary copywriter who gets paid the big bucks to write promotions for other people and not manage anybody. So, you know, those are some of the good sides about being a copywriter. But what are the admin things that you have to take care of? Like, what is the day-to-day drudgery that, you know, people really don't tell you about?
Yeah. So, I mean, even just like, for example, if you're doing emails, you know, you write the thing in either a Google Doc or if you use Microsoft Word or whatever, but then you still need to put it in whatever, you know, software or platform that you're using or your client or whoever is using to actually send out to that email list. So some people might be surprised how long that can take, getting it properly formatted. You know, making sure it's going out to the right number of people.
Yeah, especially because there's so many email software platforms out there. Like when I was an email copywriter, I ran most of my stuff through AWeber, and it was very, very simple. Now, if you're writing for seven clients and each of them uses a different email software provider, you have to be an expert in all seven of them, I guess.
Yeah, and some are definitely better than others. So some are very easy to use. And then some can be absolutely time consuming.
So just on that, you know, a quick little tip for everybody who's thinking about building an email list or, you know, like, hey, I've outgrown MailChimp, I got to go somewhere else. What are the ones that you would recommend?
So, I mean, partly because I've used it so much and I got used to it, but I really like Marlpost. Okay. I think it's also one of the most expensive ones, probably because their software, the way it works. But it's just pretty free of glitches. It's very easy to work with. And they do a really good job of, like, one thing that's important for email marketing is split testing. And they just make it really easy for you to set up split tests. You can split test, you know, multiple different messages with different subject lines, with different links, all sorts of different stuff. And it's very easy to set up and it's very easy to compare the data. Whereas some other platforms, you basically have to create like this long sequence. And I'm not a tech guy. So, you know, for me, it's a little bit more involved than it might even be for some people. But definitely Marpost was the easiest as far as split testing goes. And also just segmenting the lists. So making sure that the right people are receiving the right messages and other people are maybe being taken out of certain messages.
Yeah, that's another level of complexity to the whole copywriting thing. So the funny thing is that, you know, you came to that event early, let's say it was early 2019. I remember it was like August of 2019. You're still I think that you came to an event in 2018 because, you know, you were a coaching client for a long time. You went from salesperson to GM. And then you heard me mention the word copywriting and you told me like, Craig, I'd never heard of copywriting before. And then you just went down the rabbit hole. So what got you interested in it? And then what did you do next?
Sure. Yes. Well, and one thing I'll say too, I didn't shoot all the way up from the sales floor to managing the entire dealership. I was managing the sales team. So I was a sales manager, but it was a definite switch up there. But the copywriting thing, what did you ask about the copywriting specifically?
So you were like, wow, I've never even heard of copywriting before. Yeah. And then, you know, you quickly went and started studying it and realized like, you really liked it for some reason. And the next thing you know, you were just studying. And soon you started taking on clients. So just walk us through the pathway there, including some of the people that you learned from the most.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the pathway there, it was interesting because basically when I started, applying some of your strategies and teachings just in productivity and, you know, just general effectiveness and getting more out of myself, my results in sales, when I was still in sales, just shot through the roof. And that's kind of how I quickly got promoted into sales management. And I was doing the financing and insurances for a little while too. I got headhunted out by a couple different dealerships. So that was going really, really well. Like my income tripled basically from what it was initially. And then, but yeah, I mean, through your world, being exposed to more different types of businesses and online businesses and more internet marketing, I kind of started getting more of a sense of or more of an understanding of what copywriting was. And it actually started when I was still in sales. I was just trying to get more leads. The dealership wasn't bringing in what I considered to be enough leads. So I just wanted more leads to get more sales. So I started doing my own Facebook ads. So that's kind of where the whole thing started as far as me actually doing copywriting. Creating my own Facebook ads. And then I was kind of like, oh, well, this is like just this itself is kind of a thing. People just do this and get really good at this. And I'm kind of enjoying doing this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's when I kind of, you know, I was picking up on little things from your emails and from your content, your coaching. And so that's when I was kind of curious more about how you actually get into that. And then I think one of the first, because I know like you're friends with Ian Stanley, Justin Goff, and like a bunch of these guys. So those are people I've become aware of through you. But I think one of the other names that you first gave me was Kevin Rogers.
Yeah.
He's a
veteran.
Yeah. And he studied under John Carlton for a long time. He's a fantastic copywriter himself. And he's a really good freelancer coach. Like copywriting coach and yeah. coaches freelancers how to build their businesses. So I got into his world. But yeah, those other names I mentioned as well, like Ian Stanley, I still like his stuff is phenomenal. I've used a ton of his, methods and ideas. And he's got a great book. I forget exactly what it's called.
It is Confessions of a Persuasion Hitman by Ian Stanley.
That's really
Ian's a great guy.
Yeah,
he might be. And he has, you know, Almost Passive Income is one of his programs, which kind of is about copywriting. And he's got a great email list. And Justin has a great email list. Is it still like justin123.com to get on?
I believe Justin's? It is. Yeah, I think it's justin123.com just to get onto I think
his that's free email list.
Yeah. But you can also like people can also look up justingoff.com. I think he's just got like his own website with some cool stuff on there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. His stuff has just been, I've sent you some of it recently too, and it's just been lights out. Both those guys, Justin and Ian. And another big one is Ben Settle has phenomenal material.
Yeah, he's been doing it forever.
Yeah, he really has. And he's kind of one of the guys that like all, you know, like the Gary Bensivangas and not Gary Halbert, but some of these guys that have been around forever, back in the 80s and 90s. Are giving Ben Settle shout outs and, you know, saying his stuff's great. Sure. And it is, it's really phenomenal.
So you went from card sales to car sales management to copywriter, but what did you actually want to be when you were growing up, when you were a kid?
None of those things. I think I wanted
well, you never knew of those things.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know about any of them, but yeah, I think when I was a real little kid, we lived across from a fire hall. So I wanted to be a fireman when I grew up.
Oh, nice. Nice. Now, what were some of the difficulties in moving from the 12-hour days at the dealership to being the master of your own deadlines? Like that is for a lot of people who become entrepreneurs on the side, like their side hustle takes off and stuff like that. They go from having this structure at work to having, you know, now you have no boss. And essentially, if there's no boss, you're the boss. And if you're the boss and you don't know how to put boundaries and structure into your day, it can be a real mess at first. So what were some of the key elements that kept you on track? Because otherwise, you know, some people just go and they can get lost in research and then research can lead them to watching something entertaining on YouTube and then their day's gone.
100%. Yeah. And it was definitely a struggle initially. And it's honestly something I'm still kind of working on to find the right balance and what works best. Cause I did have it really dialed in when I was doing the sales. I had the perfect routine, the perfect day, everything. And even before I started doing copywriting full time, I was basically spending that 60 to 90 minute work block in the morning before sales was learning to do copywriting. So I really had it dialed in then. And, it's a different story now. It's just, you're I'm working from home all day. I don't have like the morning commute. You know, that part of that used to be my workout. I would hit the gym on the way to work. So yeah, things have changed a lot. And, but honestly, I think it probably would have been a total mess if I didn't have the understanding of some of the things that, that you teach, like that, you know, 60 to 90 minutes on your number one task, that non-urgent important work first thing in the morning. You know, staying away from your phone, just don't even look at your phone for the first hour, whatever it is. I have been able to basically wean myself off of social media almost altogether. That wasn't something, you know, I promoted myself on social media when I was doing sales. You know, I was big on Instagram, but, you know, just having that temptation to pick up the phone if it's anywhere nearby when you're supposed to be writing and scroll Instagram, I just had to shut that right down. So I basically don't go on Instagram anymore unless it's, you know, looking up maybe something on your page. Or some of my other clients to see if something might be good for a promo or good for some content or something like that.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. And any other hacks that you use to control your time? Like, you know, for example, like Daniel, the head coach in our program, he's really taken to this Opal app, O-P-A-L, which which is like a social media blocker. And we got it from one of my clients, and one of my, and Daniel said he's gone from 4 hours a day on his phone to an hour and a half on his phone. Anything like that, that you use to help you? Do you use Pomodoro timers? Do you use anything else to increase your productivity?
Yeah. Nailed it with the Pomodoro timers, probably the number one. So like the night before, the day before, when I'm kind of planning my next day, I usually write down how many Pomodoro blocks I think each task will take me as far as actual writing tasks. So, you know, I might have, I do 33 minute Pomodoro blocks, 7 minutes off in between. So if I'm working on one email, maybe I think that'll take me one or two or three 33 minute blocks. So it's kind of scheduled in like that. So definitely the Pomodoro timer's been a big one. It always takes me longer than I think it's going to when I'm planning the day before. But I've also, I think I learned it from you as well, just putting in buffer time in between tasks as well. Because, you know, I think it's going to take 33 minutes, ends up taking 83 minutes or whatever. So I've got to leave some time in between as well.
How would you simplify copywriting to most people? And why is it so important to most businesses? Like, we've talked a lot about maybe even some of the advanced stuff in your day-to-day, but, you know, what is copywriting if people are new to it? How, you know, what's the best explanation and definition that somebody's given you? And then why is it so important? You've given a few examples over it, but why is it so important in almost every area of life?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think one of my favorite, and I might explain it differently now, but I think the way that I first heard it explained was basically copywriting is salesmanship in print. So
yeah,
that was when I was full-time sales. And it's just the idea of being able to multiply that sales message from, you know, you're selling a car, whatever you're selling, insurance or whatever, to one person at a time. Now you can set, you can multiply that. So you can amplify your efforts by writing it and then distributing that message, whatever. It used to be in the newspapers. Now it's across the internet and social media. So it's basically taking that sales message one-to-one. Now it's one-to-many, and it's salesmanship in print instead of verbally.
Yeah. Okay. And then why is it so important for you know, an entrepreneur to know the basics of copywriting?
Yeah, I think it's really important for pretty much any business, definitely any business that's, you know, mainly online, but really brick and mortar, anything. Just because it's like, I mean, it has a lot to do with like your whatever offers you're offering people, like services, products. But I mean, it's also going to be, you know, if you're a business owner and you're trying to determine how to improve your marketing or why your marketing is not working or whatever, the principles of copy, like copywriting is marketing. It's just the written, you know, component of it. But if you understand the principles of copywriting, you don't need to be able to, you know, craft the world's greatest sales message or sales page. But if you understand what works and what doesn't and why that is, you're going to be able to figure out who knows what they're talking about when you're hiring a copywriter or, you know, a marketing manager. And you're also going to have a better time, you know, breaking down why things might not be working and hopefully improving them.
Yeah. And I think that copywriting is any written message. So even if you're writing a email to your friends, trying to convince them to go to a baseball game or a golf outing, or you convince your family to come to a family reunion, everything is copywriting. And whether you're using that in your Tinder bio, your Instagram bio, your LinkedIn messaging, every single thing that you write, even emails about getting people to come to a meeting, getting people to come prepared for meetings, persuading anybody to do anything in the written format is easier to do when you have copywriting skills. And the copywriting skills, you know, there's a million and one resources from Justin Goff and Ian Stanley and Kevin Rogers and Dan Kennedy and Gary Halbert, John Carlton and Yannick Silver. And I mean, there's a million and one people out there. You know, Sabri Subi has a great book called Sell Like Crazy. Yeah. Are there any other really, really great kind of high level copywriting resources that you recommend to people, Tim?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like there's like the business owner who just wants to understand copywriting better and maybe improve some of their marketing. And then there's someone who's maybe actually trying to get really good at copywriting. Maybe that's a business owner too, and they just want to do it all themselves, or, you know, maybe it's someone who wants a career in copywriting. So it can be a little bit different, but, I mean, Ben Settle's, Email Players newsletter, is really good. It's basically just, all principles of marketing and copywriting.
So if you're a business owner with an email list, that's a great place to start.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cause there is a lot of focus on email marketing there.
Great.
Ian's book that we mentioned, Justin is coming out with some new stuff. I think he was talking about in his emails, about offer creation. So I don't know what that's going to be, but I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah. And then that goes well with the Alex Ramosi's $100 million offers program.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I know, Stefan Georgia has still got the, Copy Accelerator group. I don't know if there's a rebrand there, if it's still called Copy Accelerator.
Did they split Justin and Stefan?
Yeah. Yeah. And like completely amicably, but I think, Justin just wanted to do some different stuff. And I think, Stefan just basically bought him out. So he's still running that program as far as I know. And, it's always been really good stuff. So that's another good one.
Perfect. Perfect. So switching over to back to your habits, Tim hits writer's block. What does he do?
That's a really good, really good question. One, and I'm not sure who I learned it from or if it's maybe multiple people, but, you know, say I'm writing an email. One thing that I've been doing a lot more lately, that I didn't do at first, I used to just grind it out and just, you know, no matter how long it took, just line by line, I would write an email, or whatever I was writing. But now, if I'm stuck on maybe the opening line or whatever the hook might be, I'll just go down and start, writing out whatever the offer is, or like the pivot to the offer, or the call to action. Sometimes, if it's a subject line, I'm just kind of sitting there looking at the subject line, I'll just literally write subject line and then bold that like I would my normal subject line. So it's really just starting like the mechanical process even of just doing the actual writing, and then you go back and you fix it after. I used to be really bad for, and I still do this, like editing as I go. And that's one of the number one things that everyone says, don't do that. Like, it's going to take you forever. And it does, if you do it that way. You know, I try and make each line perfect as I wrote the whole thing down. What you're really supposed to do is just bang out a first draft and then go back and fix structure, fix sentences, whatever. And the more I've been able to make myself do that, the faster it's gotten, and generally the better the result as well.
Do you have a swipe file, as many people do?
I do. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm terrible with organizing just because I'll spend forever just organizing something. So I just know it'll be like hours and hours spent on it. Yeah. So I have a whole bunch of swipes in various, I've got some in like binders. I've got to actually, I bought this one from a guy named Todd Brown. Back. I don't know if you saw the ad that he had out.
For, no.
He was running an email promotion a while back. So I've got four of these.
Oh my gosh.
Basically, yeah, they're all printed out swipes, old sales letters. A lot of it's Dan Kennedy. And Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer. Was it Bill Glazer?
It was Bill Glazer. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've got a bunch of their stuff is in these. I actually just bought another one. That's a whole bunch of like old, like Gary Halbert, Gary Bensivan, okay. A guy named Mel Martin. There's a bunch of like old school Jim Rutz, like old school copywriters. What's the guy's name? Matt something, just another email marketer was selling it online.
Matt Basak?
No, it's another Matt. I can't, he's newer. Man,
there's so many.
Yeah, he's done well over the last few years, but Justin was actually promoting it. I think I bought through Justin's link, but so that's all digital. And I think it's got 1700 different like old school, you know, from the 80s and 90s direct mail ads. And there's some cool stuff in there. It's funny because you'd think it's dated and it doesn't work anymore, but the principles are the same. As long as you're not trying to use the same outdated language, you need to just use the same concepts and you can twist that into new sales messages.
Oh, man, that is, I mean, the amount of history and swipes that you can study can make it a little bit overwhelming. But I think, you know, for people that are new to this, start with the resources that we mentioned. Again, I think that Sabri Subi's book, Sell Like Crazy, is a really great overall copywriting, marketing, sales book. And I highly recommend it to a lot of people. So starting there would be good. Otherwise, you drive yourself crazy with you know, digesting information. Now, Tim, you mentioned earlier that you plan kind of tomorrow out today, which is a perfect week strategy. So walk us through, like, you're very familiar with the Perfect Week Formula book, came out right when you came into our world. What are the strategies that you use from the book? How do you use them to be as productive as possible?
Yeah, well, that's definitely one, the planning tomorrow today. I often don't do it as like I should do it right at the end of my day. Cause I know you're like the best way of doing it is really just doing that brain dump and then planning everything out, prioritizing everything, then planning when you'll do it the following day. I often, depending on my work day, you know, if I end up working till like 8 or 9 at night, then this will be something that I'll do, you know, before bed, just because I refuse to go to bed without planning the next day. I'll get the brain dump down, you know, basically everything that needs to get done. Then I cross off most of the stuff or just put like a little T for or N for next week or something like that for stuff that doesn't need to happen tomorrow. And then basically just plan out, you know, prioritize everything, numbers 1 through 6 or 7 or 8. And then what I was kind of talking about earlier, I'll put the little Pomodoro, however many blocks I think it's going to take me, 33 times 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever next to it. And those draw lines in between stuff for a little bit of a buffer throughout my day. And then usually, like if I'm lucky, all of those tasks will, you know, be reasonably doable by, you know, 5, 6 p.m. the next night. But that's actually another thing is I've known for a while that I probably just had a little bit too much volume of work to actually get done. So I am starting to build a little bit of a team now. So I've got a few people that will actually I've got a couple guys I'm doing some edits on. They're doing some work for me already. But yeah, I'm looking to build out a team and just delegate some of the work that I've got, just because I've probably got about 20%, maybe 30% more than is reasonably doable if everything kind of happens at once. I mean, with multiple clients, if everything's kind of staggered and happening at different times, that's fine. But for example, in December, you know, everything for every client happened all at once. And there was just no way. It didn't matter if I was working 12, 14, 16 hours a day. It just, there was no possible way it would ever get done all, you know, at once. So that kind of made it obvious that I need to build a bit of a team. So that kind of forced my hand. I was putting it off for a while. And so now the combination of which again, I learned from you, you know, you have to delegate a certain amount of stuff once you get to a certain, I guess, volume. Mm-hmm. So combined that with the planning, it's definitely shortening the days significantly.
Amazing. Now, you've read so many success stories from our business in writing the emails. What are some of the ones that just stick out to you and that you really love, that you love writing about, and then just really inspire you?
For sure. Some of the ETR success stories, like coaching. Yeah. So, yeah. It's funny because like some of the ones that are, they're just so easy to use in marketing messages because it'll be, you know, so like Frank Den Blanken, for example, I think he went from making about 100K a year to like, he was, I can't remember even the exact numbers, but like within months, a few months, he like tripled his income.
And no, he went from 100, he went from 10K a month to 100K a month in 90 days. It's insane.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. I was going to say it was a year he got 200K a month, but yeah, 90 days. So that honestly is insane. And it's almost, you know, you wonder like, okay, depending on what kind of message we're sending, is that even a believable case study to use because it's so extreme, right? So sometimes I'm careful about where I'll include a case study like that, but that's a great one. And it's 100% legit. Others, there's a gentleman named Boris who had huge success and was able to go from multi seven figures to an eight figure business. So that's a great one. Yeah, I mean, there's so many good ones. Trying to think. Well, I mean, some of the other ones like people that are still in your world that have been around for a long time, like Jason Capital, Vince Del Monte. Jason's a great one because that's the story. Like you met him when he was what, 18 or 19 years old? Or
19,
like
yeah.
And then wrote out a little bit of a business plan for him on the back of a napkin. And within a few months, he blew up his business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing to watch, you know, because I meet so many people over time, Tim. And, you know, there's a lot of times I give advice to people who I'm like, man, you know, if they were a stock, I would buy, you know, 100% of the stock in them, and they don't do anything. And then there's some people, and there was one guy in the fitness space that came to an event with me and Vedros. And I was like, yeah, he's just a bit of a meathead, you know, like me. And he turned out to like run a $70 million company. And he was a champion at Muay Thai. And, you know, so like something about that champion mindset that just, you know, transferred into business. So it's like, you know, you're going willing to do everything to win. And so even to this day, I'm wrong probably about 60% of the time when I think someone's going to be successful, and I'm wrong 60 to 80% of the time when I'm not, when I'm kind of have misgivings or doubts about somebody. But so it really comes down to the mindset. And, you know, you made big changes in your life. What have been some of the mindset tips that have really helped you?
Yeah. And, that's another topic that's, you know, even more important for me, recently. Like it was, I mean, initially, like I was kind of, when I was in sales, you know, I was really good at just selling, mm-hmm. but I wasn't getting the results I wanted. So, you know, I was kind of, before I came into your world, I was kind of considering, okay, well, maybe I'll do like a sales training program or something like that. And that really wouldn't have helped me much because I was already good at selling. So that wasn't the issue. It's just, I need to get more organized, more kind of dialed in on, you know, what I was actually trying to accomplish and figure out what the actual levers I need to pull were. And it turned out to be leads, but, yeah, I mean the biggest mindset, I guess hacks or habits, one thing definitely has been, just kind of like narrowing in on, goals and vision. You've got some great like stuff that, I went through the 90 day plan, which I first picked up in your workshop, I guess was the first time I saw it. So that's been super helpful. I like to review that, frequently. And, you know, I've got the, Perfect Day kit, and I try to annually go back through those booklets and just, I mean, as much as possible, right. I'm still overdue for my 2023, but go back through those booklets and do my planning based around those, because it changes year to year, you know, what your specific objectives and what's important to you really is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, those, as far as tools, those have been super helpful. One thing that I haven't been doing as much lately that I used to do was, you know, I just kind of like write out a bit of, I would just call it like my identity statement or personal identity, and just kind of write out, you know, what I'm good at, what I focus on, you know, the skills that I'm developing, and what kind of things I'm currently accomplishing, and just kind of go back through that every morning, every day. And I haven't done as much lately. And I noticed that like my focus, you know, might be off a little bit when I'm not focusing on those things. But one thing I have done super consistently that's great is just like gratitude and I guess wins. Mm-hmm. I call them 5x5. So we'll go through five things that I'm grateful for every morning, and then five wins. Like, what did accomplish that I, you know, home run, or even just like, that was good, you know, like, you know, a nice message to a friend or conversation with, you know, my dad or my mom or something like that, or getting the dog for a walk, great workout, stuff like that. Or like a big win, like a promo that absolutely crushed, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Man, fantastic. So last thing I want to ask you, Tim, is what advice do you have to people out there that are thinking about making a big leap in life, you know, starting as a copywriter or starting a side hustle while they work a full-time job? You know, what were some of the things that helped you through making the big leap from, you know, not necessarily that you had a guaranteed income, but something relatively stable to something where it's like, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, one thing I would say for sure, that has helped me basically every step of the way, you know, becoming more successful at what I was already doing, branching into other things and getting good at those quickly, is really like going back to that non-urgent important work every morning, especially if you're trying to develop a new skill, whether it's, you know, sales or computer programming, you know, writing code or writing copy, like it doesn't matter. You need to spend that time sharpening that axe, and probably the best time to do it, at least in my opinion, is before everyone else is awake, you know, shooting you messages, emails bugging you. So getting up early in the morning and focusing on that when there's no other distractions was probably the biggest, like when I was in sales, I would literally like write down, you know, different phrases, word tracts that I would use for certain situations, ways to handle objections on flashcards, and then memorize those flashcards. Copywriting, same kind of thing. I've gone through, you know, sales letters. I'll do like, some people say hand copying a sales letter is not a great way to learn copying, copywriting. Some people say it's one of the best things you can do. What I like to do is I'll hand copy whatever, an email or sales letter, whatever it is. And because you're kind of learning, you know, ideas that someone else has done that were already effective, but then I'll go back through it and make little notes for myself about like why I think this worked, what I liked about it, what I would do differently if I was doing it myself. And then you start to lock those principles in. So that's been a big one too, but those are different things that I've done to work on those skills during that time. I don't think I would have been able to get as good at either sales or copywriting in the time frame I did without doing those things. Because I'm not just naturally good at those things. Like, they were definitely both hard.
Well, I'm impressed by what you've accomplished, Tim. Proud of you and super grateful for you. Definitely go my 5x5 gratitude for all the people that you brought into our world through the Effortless Discipline promotions, the book sales, the course sales, coaching sales, the blunt emails that we call it. And so super grateful for that, Tim, and the energy that you bring to all of our team meetings. So Tim, you are doing awesome, and really excited to help you grow your business and introduce you to more people. So thanks for being on the show, Tim.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Craig. Appreciate you.
All right, everybody. If you have any questions or comments about copywriting, just hit me up on Instagram at RealCraigValentine or email me at support@earlytorise. And we'll be back very, very soon with another episode. Talk to you later.